And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is numbers. Each of my guests will be discussing an idea that they've developed with a number in it. My first guest is a Kenyan by birth, and he brings his love of wildlife and nature to his business writing. We discuss the 7 skills to master business and life from his latest book, Surviving Your Serengeti. My second guest is a New Englander by birth. He's a Harvard-trained economist, and we were discussing the 12 surprising trends that will reshape the global economy from his latest book titled Outrageous Fortunes. My next guest conducted an incredible experiment. He pared down his life to 100 things and lived that streamlined life. He wrote about it in his latest book titled The 100 Things Challenge, How I Got Rid of Almost Everything, Remade My Life, and Regained My Soul. We'll discuss living the simplified life with him. If you're interested in joining the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Dave Bruno describes himself as a restless wanderer, probably because of all the Wendell Berry books that he read as he was growing up. He is the voice and advocate for a simple lifestyle by instigating a movement called the 100 Thing Challenge, a project focused on breaking free from the constraints of the American-style consumerism. The 100 Things Challenge movement has become much larger than he alone brings to it, and that really delights him. In addition to writing, Dave is also an entrepreneur. In 2004, he co-founded Christian Audio, a leading publisher of online source audiobooks. Dave sold his stake in that company in 2008. He continues to be entrepreneurial, though, and he has different views about that vocation than he had just a few short years ago. He received his master's from Wheaton College in American Religious History. He received his undergraduate BA from Moody Bible Institute in Bible and Theology Studies. He's happily married to his lovely wife. They have 3 daughters, and they live and grow up in San Diego, California. Welcome to the show, Dave. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. It's great to be with you and your listeners. Thanks, Bill.
Well, thank you. I had to have you on the show when I heard about the 100 Thing Challenge because I don't think that I could do it. And I've done an informal poll among my friends and listeners, and they don't think that they could do it either. So my first question to you is, how did you come up with the idea about the 100 Thing Challenge? Why 100 things? Then why that number?
Right, right. Well, you know, I didn't think it through. I should have thought it through, right, and been more strategic when the idea came to my mind. So I'll tell you the truth. The idea came to me one day after doing quite a bit of cleaning around the house, and after we were all done, we looked around and there was still a ton of what felt like to me a ton of stuff, a lot of clutter. And I said, I just got to stop this. You know, I need to really radically minimize the amount of stuff that I have and see if I can break out of consumerism. And I just did a quick inventory, and I realized that if I did the 150 thing challenge, say, it just felt like it was going to be too easy. And if I did the 50-thing challenge, I'd kind of would be living like a hermit, you know. I'd be removing myself from my lifestyle a little bit too much. And I didn't really want that to be the purpose of the challenge either. So I just kind of rounded to the next comfortable number, and that happened to be 100, and it worked out pretty well.
And hence the challenge was born, and I think that's interesting. For our listeners who are going, my gosh, 100 things, I think we need to differentiate. That's 100 personal items, not necessarily 100 communal items. So break it down for us. Differentiate what would be a personal item versus a communal item.
Right. So during the challenge, essentially I said anything that was mine or, you know, completely mine or mostly mine, I'd count. So obviously things like my wedding ring, any of my clothes, you know, I have a wife and 3 daughters, so we're not sharing clothes by any means. You know, I have a laptop computer, author, and so I use that. But I also used our home computer a little bit here and there in the home desk. And so I actually, during the challenge, I actually counted those, even though they weren't, you know, primarily mine. I felt like, you know, I need to try to be a stickler as much as I can during the year of my challenge. You know, folks tell me, though, like, and I'll just bring this up, you know, single folks will often say, well, I would have to count my couch, my kitchen table, things that I didn't count. And I would just respond that, you know, don't worry about those things. It's not, those aren't the things that tend to get us into kind of consumerism trouble. I mean, I talked to somebody via Twitter the other day who said he was buying his 5th couch in 4 years, and I was hoping this would be the last one. Well, that guy needs to count his couch, but most of us don't need to count our couch when it comes to consumerism. It's usually the things like clothes and gadgets and other things that tend to take a lot of our money and our time, and and really distract us from life.
All right. We're talking to Dave Bruno, everybody, author of the book, The 100 Thing Challenge. And, Dave, your book is part biography. It's part retelling of the event itself, and it's part reflection on all of this. But I want to get inside of your brain just a little bit. How did you determine which 100 things to keep? What went into your decision-making process?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I like to tell people to start out in your closet. You know, obviously, we have to stay dressed. And just depending on where you work, too, right, you might have particular clothes requirements. Fortunately, I have a fairly business casual environment that I work in. But I say start in the closet for a couple reasons. One is, it's pretty amazing. You can go in your closet and you can pick out, say, one unique outfit for, let's say, 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, you're going to wear something unique. And that might be the same pair of pants, but a different shirt, whatever. And then pack everything else away. And live like that for a month or two, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, this is doable. I can actually downsize a lot, and everybody has tons and tons of clothes. So, you know, just from a real practical standpoint, start in your wardrobe, prove to yourself that you can live a simple life and still, you know, look good and feel good and show up to work and not get fired, things like that. And then start moving outside of your closet to things like gadgets. You know, a desk, home office desk is a great place. I know some people are people who lose pens and pencils on a, you know, hourly or daily basis. You know, so no offense to people like that. I've had the same pencil that I've used for 5 years now. So that, you know, you can actually get away with obviously mechanical pencil, but you can obviously get away with downsizing a lot of the excess, and it's really freeing. It's pretty amazing.
All right, now my mind gravitates, Dave, towards something that it sounds a little bit foolish, but
yeah.
I think of underwear. How many pairs of underwear did you have?
That's a great question. It always comes up. I don't know what it is about this 100 thing challenge that where underwear, you know, is a primary topic. But I will say this, and I can't speak for everybody else, but in my life I have not had a consumerism problem with underwear and with socks and with white undershirts. So I keep roughly about six white undershirts, maybe seven, eight. You know, pairs of skivvies and six, you know, pairs of socks, something like that. With the challenge, I felt like, you know what, I don't want to nitpick. And so those actually became three categories of things. So I counted those as three things on my list. But, you know, again, they were each made up of, you know, 6 to 10 things.
Gotcha. We're talking to Dave Bruno, everybody. The book is The 100 Thing Challenge, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Dave, one of the things that really is interesting, you're defined by not only what you got rid of, but as what you kept. I'm sorry, the other way around. Not by what you kept, but the things that you got rid of. So what was your thought process in getting rid of some of those things? And what did you find surprising among the things you were able to let go?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And I think one of the things that people and other people tell me this as well is that as you start to let stuff go, you're not just usually letting go a thing, but a lot of times you're letting go, you know, an experience or an emotion or some sort of expectation attached to that thing. I'll just give one example. One of the things that was very hard for me to get rid of was woodworking tools. And I like to be handy with my hands, and I've always wished that I would be just an amazing, you know, a craftsman, woodworker. But the reality is that both because of time and, you know, other circumstances, that just was not going to happen. And so when I got rid of the tools, it wasn't that I was getting rid of something that I was using on a, you know, daily or even a weekend-by-weekend basis. I wasn't using them too much, but I was also kind of having to let go of this idea of being somebody that, well, frankly, I'm not. And, you know, that can be tough. And at the same time, once you let go, it really frees you up to be a little bit more of the person that you actually are. And that was something I, you know, maybe could have intellectually thought through and expected, but it was experientially, it was pretty exciting moment when I kind of moved past those hopes and kind of focused a little bit more on reality.
I can see where that would be traumatic, Dave. Where do you view yourself in the whole minimalist movement? And then tell us about your blog, guynameddave.com.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple ways you can look at minimalism. And I am not part of, I guess, the movement where there's quite a few people who have, like, say, less possessions than myself. They tend to be very mobile and move around a lot. There's other people who are even more radical that are real inspirations. You know, I mean, I think of someone like Mother Teresa, right? Gives up everything and goes and serves the poor. And these people are just people to look up to and be inspired by. But, you know, I think for a lot of folks, you know, we really can't, we can't do that. You know, a father, you know, with three children can't live out of a backpack and travel around. That's just not realistic. So what I wanted to do is essentially take minimalism and make it doable for the average person, you know, in the average suburban home, and say, hey, you can still participate in your community and have kids and, you know, stay put, but not be overwhelmed by stuff. And so, I think that's kind of my message and what the 100 Thing Challenge is kind of attempted to do, and I think has proven. And I do talk about that at guynameddave.com, and also 100thingchallenge.com is usually where a little bit more of the stuff-related posts happen.
All right, that's 100thingchallenge.com, and it's the numeral 100thingchallenge.com. Good. We're talking to Dave Bruno, everybody. Dave, what, after all of this experiment and minimalizing, stripping down your life, what is your commentary on American consumerism?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really American-style consumerism is really difficult because, you know, we're human beings. We consume. We make stuff and get stuff, and that, I think that's great. It's incredible. You know, you look around and no other creatures on Earth are doing that. But American-style consumerism tends to say that our worth as an individual, as a person, is very much related to the stuff that we can show off, our affluence, what we're able to acquire. But then it does this crazy little trick. So we say, I'll be really successful if I get a luxury, you know, sedan or whatever the case may be. And you work hard and you go into a little bit of debt and you get that luxury sedan. And as soon as you drive it off the lot, you see a commercial or an advertisement saying, you'll actually be successful if you get that fancy watch, or if you get this new wardrobe, or if you upgrade your car, you know, the next year. And so there's this sense that we are successful and we'll be happy if we get something, but as soon as we do that, we're immediately kind of ridiculed by consumerism and told, well, you need to get something else. It's a really tough lifestyle to keep up with.
It almost, you're implying, though, that Americans can't differentiate, or anybody who consumes in this way can't differentiate or at least be critical about what it is they're seeing on television and so forth. What's the emotional hook that grabs us all when it comes to American-style consumerism?
Yeah, well, and I will say this. I do think we actually can differentiate and have discernment as we approach consumerism. But one thing that I think is very difficult is that when we have lived a lifestyle of acquiring a lot of stuff for a while, that's where we start to distance ourselves from kind of clear thinking, and sometimes the stuff just clouds our vision. So it's a little bit tough to kind of dig your way out, but it's possible, obviously. But I think the emotional hook is just the stuff that every human being wants, right? I want to feel significant. I want to feel like my life is meaningful, and I'm making a difference in the world, and my family likes me, and my friends like me, you know, and so when we associate those feelings of belonging and purpose with things, well, it's really, really difficult, right? You get something, and somebody comes up and says, wow, that's really cool, and then they walk away and, you know, talk about you behind your back. Well, then you feel motivated to get the next thing, right? Better route is simply to be good friends with people.
That's very true. We're talking to Dave Bruno, everybody, author of the book, The 100 Thing Challenge. And Dave, you've been talking about how this has impacted your lifestyle, which is obviously very important. But you're a family man. You've got a wife. You've got children. Tell us, what was the impact on your family of this one-year experiment?
Well, it's a great question. I'll tell you, initially, my wife kind of just thought, like, what is this guy up to? You know, so she's always supportive. But as I say in the book, she's not an enabler by any means of any of my harebrained ideas. You know, I would say this. It's helped our family to be more intentional about the way we go about things. We as a family, even though, you know, I don't think it's appropriate for a parent to, say, enforce something like the 100 Thing Challenge on their children, but we talk about with my daughters, we talk about consumerism and advertising and the emotional stuff that we were just talking about ourselves, and we work through those things a lot more. We've downsized quite a bit. And then I think the other thing is we've kind of also taken a look and said, over the years, wow, we've probably spent way too much money on things that we no longer have and therefore are no longer valuable to us. And so we've actually used this kind of as the genesis of some real aggressive financial, you know, personal financial planning. So we're kind of redoing our budget as a result of this and rethinking the way we handle our finances. So,
well, I think that that is commendable, but I'm going to ask one more follow-on question. Yeah. How old are your children?
Yeah, so I have a 12, 9, and a 5-year-old daughter.
Okay, so a tweener and some younger children. As that tweener gets into that critical social age where she has to keep up with her friends and that kind of thing, what lessons is she going to learn from this one-year experiment that you did, pruning down to 100 things?
Yeah, you know, I think that's really important. In fact, I just wrote about that on the 100 Things Challenge blog the other day. Because, you know, a young child, like you just implied, a 5-year-old, stuff is, you know, they're happy playing with a box as much as they're happy with playing with Legos or something. You know, it's okay. But for an older kid, a tweener and beyond, right, stuff actually does start to mean things. And so I think that the big issue there is to give them, because you know, tweens and teens are beginning to develop critical thinking skills, to give them the capacity and the ability to evaluate their world as it relates to stuff. Hey, I am not, you know, my backpack. My daughter got a backpack, and it was the same one as one of her best friends, you know, and so she wanted to return it and get a different backpack so she wouldn't be, you know, the two of them wouldn't be embarrassed. Well, that's part of growing up, right? And,
right.
And that's okay. But, you know, you realize, too, this is a good opportunity to talk about, like, well, what is embarrassment? What is, you know, your relationship with your friends? Is it okay to, you know, occasionally not be, you know, cool or, you know, whatever the case may be? And, you know, I think it just allows to get that conversation rolling in the household and focus on more, you know, important things.
Well, we've been talking to Dave Bruno, everybody. Dave, I think it's commendable what you've done. Personally, I don't know if I could do it. Dave is the author of the book, The 100 Thing Challenge, How I Got Rid of Almost Everything, Remade My Life, and Regained My Soul. Dave, if people are interested in learning more about you, learning more about your writings and so forth, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Yeah, I would just say that 100thingchallenge.com is a great place to start. You can view not only kind of blog posts, but you can also tap into the community that's developed around Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, you can have links out to the book, you know, which I hope is inspirational and not a, you know, one-to-one how-to, step-by-step process, but hopefully it'll give you the inspiration to do your own Simple Living Challenge.
Well, it is a thought-provoking book. Dave, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.